Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon today is the Gospel Lesson, Part 1. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. So Part 1. The kingdom of God is all hidden and everything. You don't see it. You don't see the inner workings of the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because the inner workings of the kingdom of God happen inside souls. And the last time I was able to see inside a soul of somebody else never has happened. No, not even pastors. We can't do that. There's only one who can. His name is God. So the kingdom of God is hidden. But how it works is that the seed is sown. And God has given the seed of His word to all of us to sow that seed. So how does that work? Parents bring a baby to be baptized. We go to the water. Pastor pours water. Pastor speaks the word of God. Pastor does nothing else. Pastor doesn't do anything inside the soul of the child. That's somebody else's business, and his name is Jesus. And then after the baptism, parents go away. Ask the pastor right after the baptism, what is going to happen with this child all through the rest of their life? I don't know. The seed is sown and somebody is going to do work in secret within the heart and soul of that child. Ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And you gather here, you hear the word of God, you go away. A week later, you come back and hear the word of God again. And for some of you, I will have interactions with you during the week. In between, do I know what's going on inside your souls? No. For a pastor, that means I'm the guy that wakes and sleeps and doesn't know what all is going on with the seed, but the seed is doing its work. God's word is doing its work. And I have to trust it to God. I can't go badgering every one of you every day. Are you still saying your prayers at night? Yeah. Should I call you tomorrow morning and ask if you said your prayers tomorrow morning? You think? Yeah, okay. See? It wouldn't work. Got to trust that word of God to do its work inside the soul. That also means you got to take that word of God into the soul so it can do its work. And in our old age, time comes when, if we live long enough, we may begin to forget things. Is the word of God still going to work? Tell you a story. Put a name to it. I was in my first year at seminary, worked with a guy named Pastor Taglauer. Interesting name. He told the story about an old lady in a nursing home. And she had fairly advanced Alzheimer's. And he was faithful and went and saw her quite regularly. And as he went and saw her, time and time and time again, he got no response, nothing. And then one day he's sitting around and he goes, aha, aha. She was confirmed way back when. She was confirmed in German. So he figures, here's what I'll do. And he goes and finds the Lord's Prayer in German, and he has somebody help him to know how to pronounce the words. And he practices it and practices it. And then he goes and sees her again And he says to her, Frau so-and-so, we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer auf Deutsch. And he begins. Vater unser, der du in den Himmel bist. And as he goes through this, he peeks. Now, pastors sometimes peek while we're praying. And he peeks, and what he sees is her lips are moving. She's praying the prayer with him. What that says is that seed of the word is planted so deeply down inside that when all of those things that are overlaying what is deepest down inside, all of those things we build into our lives, when those start to slip away, that word of God is still there. That's really great news, isn't it? God holds us down deep inside. So we have, let's see, summary. Invisible church. Invisible because you can't see faith in another person's heart. Invisible because it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and he does his work so deep inside that you couldn't see it no matter what. In fact, you cannot see the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in you, because who you are as a Christian is you are somebody who believes the Word of God telling you about Jesus and the salvation in him. You didn't see your beginning. Nobody sees their beginning. But that's what the Holy Spirit did for you. Final question on this one, part one. So are you comfortable with somebody doing things inside your soul that a lot of it you don't even know about, but he keeps on doing that? Comfortable with that? And the answer is, depends on who it is. If it's the Holy Spirit, well, yeah. Second part depends on what he's doing, what he's about. And if what he's about is creating faith in God's word to bind me to God for all eternity, yes. I'm very comfortable with that. I need him to do that. Part two. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. So it begins small, tinier than you can even ever imagine, but that's in the pattern of God. How did he start everything out? Let there be light. It's not real impressive words. But there it goes, and everything begins, and the whole world begins to be formed and fashioned, and God starts tiny and little, and then he grows it. Or, calling Abraham. One man called to stop worshiping false gods and idols and come to believe in God and walk with him. And this one man is called to go and leave his father's house, and he doesn't even know where he's going, but only that he's following God. And God attaches a promise to all of this. He says, your descendants who follow in your faith will be more than the stars of the sky, more than the grains of sand on the seashore. So it starts tiny, with a promise. Moses sent into Egypt to bring the people out. And God begins how? He begins with talking with Moses through a burning bush. And Moses is going to bring the people out, but on the way they're going to have the blood of the Lamb marking the doorposts and the lintel with the sign of the cross. They're going to have the Passover Lamb pointing to Jesus. Then they're going to go through the Red Sea. through the waters and being called God's own people. And Jesus starts out with 12 disciples and a simple word of forgiveness. From the cross, that word of forgiveness then echoes all over the world. It's God's design. Start small with one simple thing and grow it till it fills the whole world. And, well, we know that this gospel echoes down through the ages, don't we? It echoes like this. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Yeah, I'm hearing the echo. And the word of God spreads out, filling the whole world. How much filling the whole world? Heard about this some years ago. Missionaries in Papua New Guinea going through the uncharted woods, the forests in there, started seeing the name of Jesus carved into the trees. Say, what? How'd it get there? Well, that kingdom of God is filling the whole world. The kingdom of God. What is this kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is bound up in the message from the cross, sins taken by Jesus, sins forgiven by Jesus, Jesus dying and rising for us and sending out that message all over the world to generation after generation after generation. And in that word, there is such amazing power going on through the Word of God. Oh, do an illustration, okay. We take in our hands this book, we open it up, there are words from God in here, and the words from God are filled with the same power that created light and everything else, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And we are going to unleash that power by taking these words into our souls. What could possibly happen? God binding us to Himself and binding Himself to us. So completely and thoroughly that in this kingdom of God, as it comes to us, in the seed of His Word, we have found that there is shelter for our souls in this Word of God. We have found that there is a place of refuge, and going back to the Word of God, we find what we need for this day. Whatever this day brings, we've got it. We've got what we need in this Word of God. Examples. Word of God. Take courage, your sins are forgiven. Word of God. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Word of God. My son was dead and is alive, was lost and is found. We had to celebrate. The Word of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so, this mustard seed of the kingdom of God going through the whole world, all other kingdoms have to fall away, all other powers yield to this Word of God. Here it is in the prophet Daniel. And in the days of those kings, the kingdom of heaven will, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So earlier this week, well, last week since it's Sunday, I was visiting several people in hospitals and nursing homes and assisted living areas, and shared with them something that I've shared with you. A little riddle. If God plants His Word in your heart, what's that make you? If the eternal Word of God, the Word of God that can't ever pass away, that forever Word of God is put into your soul, and your soul is bound together with the eternal Word of God, what's that make you? What does that make you? If the eternal Word of God is completely connected to your soul. There's one simple word answer. Eternal. Right? It takes a hold of you. And because I'm using you as an example. Temporary Jamie is bound together with eternal Word of God. Now, temporary Jamie is not temporary Jamie anymore, is he? He is forever Jamie. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that Word of God does that to us. Part three. So that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Okay, this is the confusing part. Because the metaphors can get really mixed here. The birds of the air, that's peoples that did not believe in God, did not know Jesus, and they come and they find their shelter in this Word of God, in this gospel promise that comes to us in Jesus. But the kingdom of God is the mustard plant, right? So do the birds get turned into part of the mustard plant? That's an odd image, isn't it? Does the mustard plant consume the birds and draw them? That's talking crazy, isn't it? Except that there's this fellow named Martin Luther who had a habit of occasionally running wild with the images from the Word of God. So this fellow named Martin, last name Luther, says at one point, you know what the Holy Supper is like? The Lord's Supper? He says, it's like a pack of wolves falling on a sheep and devouring it. What? Except that the flesh of this sheep, this Lamb of God, is more powerful than the flesh of the wolves. So that where normally the wolves would digest the sheep and turn the sheep into wolf muscle and bone and sinew, instead this Lamb of God digests the wolves and turns the wolves into His sheep. That's a wild image. But you realize, you go to the Lord's Supper, you take into your body the body of Christ. Which one is stronger? Who's going to turn who into what? Son of God offers Himself as your meal, and you become sons and daughters of God. The Lamb of God offers Himself to you, and you become His lambs, His sheep. Is that okay? Is it okay for Jesus to turn us into His sheep? Okay. Because if we're turned into His sheep, then we have forever us. Because the body of Christ, that body of Christ destroyed death broke the tomb and lives forever. And now he's going to put that body into our bodies and make us like he is. Okay. I think I will not argue with God about that point and just let him do his work and enjoy the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.